You're listening to the Teach Better Talk podcast, featuring expert educators eager to share progressive tactics to reach more students. Teach Better Talk is created by teachers and fueled by passion. Let's get started.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 51 of Teach Better Talk. I am Ray Hewart, and as always, I'm with the astonishing Jeff Gargas. How are you doing, Jeff?
I think you've used that one before.
Okay, I may have used it before, but when I used it in the past, I was just Googling words. When I'm using it now, this was sent in by an Instagram follower who really, truly believes you are astonishing.
Well, I appreciate that Instagram follower. That's awesome. So I'm doing fantastic. I'm having a great night. Today was the day that we announced the conference website is up.
Can you believe that?
I can't. Super excited that we got to announce that, and we are now accepting proposals for the Teach Better Conference, and we are registration is open. Super excited. So that conference is going to be in November 8th and 9th of 2019. All the info is over at teachbetterconference.com. One of the cool things, Ray, is that we get to bring our good friend Dave Burgess in.
I love Dave Burgess.
Yeah, like super excited, Dave, you know, author of Teach Like a Pirate, co-author of P is for Pirates, and, you know, he's coming out, and Shelley's coming too.
Like, I can't believe
we got Dave Burgess, and we got Shelley Burgess. So we got Teach Like a Pirate, we got Lead Like a Pirate, we got the captain and co-captain, I guess, first mate of the pirate ship, as if I can be completely corny.
Just to confirm, though, if you know Dave and Shelley, you know that, like, the captain's actually Shelley and Dave's the
co-captain. That's true. Yeah, it's very true. it's good. I hope they listen to this episode.
Oh, they absolutely listen. We've interviewed them on this podcast, and they talk about how they listen.
So we've had Dave. We haven't had Shelley yet. So, Shelley, if you're listening, we need to get you on here, too.
Coming soon.
We've also got our really good friend, Tal Thompson, coming on. If you don't know, Tal teaches, super awesome educator. He's going to come up as well, one of our feature speakers, so super excited for that. Ray, if I'm a teacher and I'm thinking about submitting a proposal, how would I do that?
Gosh, it's so easy. If you're a teacher, I don't care if you've never presented before in your entire life and crowds freak out, or if you're a teacher that has presented a kajillion times, I hope you sit back right now, take a deep breath, and consider submitting a proposal. This is the conference for you. This entire conference, it's a two-day conference in November, and you can register for both days or just one. I have to tell you, though, and we didn't emphasize this enough, Jeff, in our live video we did earlier on our Facebook page, but it's designed strategically to be 2 days. We are purposefully structuring our conference to not just be two great days that so happen to be back-to-back on great professional development, but the entire concept of wherever you come from, come here and grow with us is designed into that two-day experience. And so I just want everyone to consider presenting because, you know, Jeff, we say all the time, the answers to the problems we have in our classrooms exist in a classroom right now. We just haven't heard about it yet. And so it's really, listeners, it's just selfish for you to not come because we have to hear about your excellence. We have to hear how you're reaching your students. And so if you head to teachbetterconference.com, just click on submit proposal. We'd love to have you submit. There's some information you got to fill out. You got to think of a catchy title, which is probably the hardest part. Feel free to email me. We can brainstorm titles. And then we have a little quick video. We want to hear from you and, you know, we want to see your face and get to know you. And I just so hope that you consider submitting because there's an amazing, you know, ring of speakers that we have, especially the ones you named, but still more to be announced. And I just hope that you choose to be part of the fun. And, you know, we're going to have networking events after. So who wouldn't want to, like, hang out and just chill with fun people?
Loving it. Yes. Yeah, so all that is over at teachbetterconference.com. You can get everything you need for it over there. So let's talk about tonight. So this episode is episode 51, Ray. Can you believe
51?
Yeah, 51 episodes in. Like you said that at the beginning, I'm like, wow, it's 51. That's a lot of episodes. So I'm super excited. Episode 51, with Lauren Salsinger, and she's an 8-year veteran teacher. She's taught third grade, fourth grade, and she is now a student learning coach. She's been in a lot of different positions. And what was really cool is we were able to dive in with her and hear her stories from both in the classroom and then also now in her new role on how she's sort of shifted her thinking and what she's taken from those experiences. And now when she's working with teachers as well as with the students. And she dives into a failure that I thought was really cool, just about building relationships. So it's a really cool story there.
It's a very relatable story.
Yeah. Yeah, really. And I love that she shares it, because we talk about those relationships a while, but it's so many different ways that like we all kind of like it clicks in our heads, and hers is really very relatable. And was really appreciative of how she shared it. And then she talked about, I loved her success. You remember, I mean, her success was all about taking a risk. And she touches on that. That's just like an awesome thing, because you know us, we love taking that risk and doing that. We talk a lot about sort of the mindset she had when she decided to take those risks and what that risk was. So she's going to dive into that for us as well.
You know, Jeff, she also had an extremely interesting answer for when we did our six questions in 15 seconds.
Yes.
Number 5, for you listening to this episode, please make sure that when that part comes up, you listen closely. There's some good nuggets of information in there. I, no kidding, wrote down her quote, and I'm going to put it on my bathroom mirror so I can look at it every day.
Absolutely. And she drops an awesome piece of advice at the end there.
Don't give it all away, Jeff.
No, I'm not giving it all away. You guys are going to love this episode. We really hope you get a lot of value out of this. And if you've been getting any value out of this podcast, really hope you can subscribe to it, give us a rate and review, and share this with someone else that needs to hear this and needs to hear awesome stories like Lauren's that you're about to hear now. So Ray, if we can, you want to just get right into it?
Let's do this.
All right, let's get to the episode.
All right, we are here now with Lauren Salsinger, and I just cannot wait to hear how you answer this first question, Lauren, because while I know you have done a ton in education, there's absolutely no way that you fit all of that into a conversation when somebody wants to know a little bit about you. So when you first meet somebody and they say, oh, Lauren, what do you do? I mean, where do you even start?
So I actually say I teach students, which is super simple. But, you know, really, I used to say I was a fourth grade teacher. And since then, my title has changed, but I don't feel like that has changed what I do. And I feel like my role has always just been to teach students. I like think back to when, you know, I was in the fourth grade classroom, and I would see a first grader in the hallway asking help for zipping up his coat. And I would use it as a teachable moment and say, you know, first we zip up the coat, then we put the gloves on. And then I think about this year when I'm in the hallway and I see a sixth grader struggling to open up their locker, and I'm rooting for them on the side, like, you can do it, one more number. And, you know, I realized it's not, teachers teach more than a grade level or a content area. Really, they teach students. And my new title is a student learning coach. And I'm completely out of the classroom, which is really tough at first. But I'm just seeing that this role, I have such an honor to really empower students. And my job is to increase student voice and choice. And I help teachers implement strategies like personalized learning, which is like a genius hour. So really, I teach students.
I love it. And a lot of experience there. So eight years in now, you've done fourth grade, you said, right? And third grade, I believe, was the first year. Now you're a student learning coach. So a lot of experience, a couple different positions, a couple different levels, content stuff. So I want to dive in. You know, we talk a lot about failure on our podcast. I talk a lot. If anybody ever listened to me, if you listen to any other episode, I'm going to repeat it again, that I always say that I've been fortunate enough to fail a lot, because I've learned from everything that I've done, all the failures that I've had, and they've made me into who I am today. So can you share a story with us about a time that you've failed, a failure you've had? Share with us what happened. Why was it a failure to you? How did you overcome it? And what did you take away from that?
Sure. I think on like a funny note, I'm new to middle school, so my biggest failure lately has just been realizing how unfunny I am and how I really need to learn, you know, what middle schoolers are like. But I think what really stands out to me as my biggest failure was something that happened a few years ago. This was a really tricky class I had, and you know, I just had all sorts of needs. I felt like at all times I was just trying to stay afloat between, you know, going to IEP meetings and 504 meetings, filling out the RTI stuff. And, you know, I had academic issues, behavior issues. And on top of all that, I had this group of 10 boys who were all on the same sports team, who, needless to say, were extremely comfortable with each other and very social. So it was just a really tough year for me. I know other teachers have it worse than that, but or just tougher situations than that. But for me, it was really hard. So one day we were outside doing a little science experiment, or science kind of surface changes block is what it was. And I had one simple rule in our little groups, and it was, okay, take a picture of something, pass the iPad on, the next person takes a picture, pass it on to the next person in the group. Pretty manageable, I thought, for my kiddos. And, you know, there's this one boy who really struggled to do this with his group. And I walk over the first time and I go, okay, what's going on, guys? And the group said, you know, he's not sharing the iPad. He's not He keeps taking the pictures and not letting us have a chance. I go, okay, get one more picture in, and then it is their turn. And so I walk away and I think that the problem will be resolved. Well, yet again, 2 minutes later, he's still not sharing. Everyone is just distraught in the group. And I go over to the boy and I say, okay, you know what? I talked to you about this already. You've had your turn, and now it's their turn for the rest of the time. It's no longer your turn. And this, I was surprised that I was even having this conversation with this boy anyway, because normally he just was pretty low key. And, but his reaction was just, he yelled, he ran away from the group, and he just had a totally, just out of character response to that. And I think, you know, that's weird. I don't, what's he doing? But I kind of move on. I was like, I'll address this when we go inside. And the day went on, and he was fine the rest of the day. So we went home, and I never said anything to him about it or never addressed it again. Then fast forward a couple weeks, and that same group of boys were outside doing something at recess, and they had a little tiff, and I emailed the parents because, you know, the thought of I was sitting there drowning in work. I had all these papers to grade. I had another IEP meeting that afternoon. I go, you know what? I just don't have time to make these phone calls home. I will just send these parents an email. So, I mean, the email is kind of impersonal. Just explain the situation. Can you please talk to your child? Well, the next day, at the end of the day, my principal sat me down in the afternoon and said, closed the door behind him after all the students left. And I'm like, oh, well, this is weird. And he goes, Lauren, I just had a parent come in, and they told me that their son said that you are the meanest teacher he's ever had. He says he hates coming to school every day, and it's all because of you. And you play favorites, and basically just saying, you know, every teacher's worst nightmare. And I'm sitting there shocked. Like, I couldn't even speak. I couldn't believe it. I mean, I don't yell at my students. You couldn't pay me to pick a favorite. I just couldn't believe what I was hearing. And I mean, I'm very fortunate that my principal had my back the whole time, but as it turned out, he had some misconceptions, but what it really came down to was I hadn't built a strong enough relationship both with the student and with their family where they felt comfortable enough to talk about that with me. And so from that point forward, I mean, I worked to grow the relationship with that family and that boy. I don't think I was his favorite teacher at the end of the year, but we definitely improved things. And from that point forward, I made a promise to myself that, you know, no matter what, relationships are what comes first. And I think that's true not only in the classroom, but in my new role where I'm working with teachers every day, relationships first.
Hey everyone, while we take this quick break, I want to encourage you to log into Facebook and go join our private Teach Better Team group. It is full of 1,000 educators who are sharing ideas from the classroom, but really also brainstorming ways to start implementing these new initiatives that we're all working on. So go head over to Facebook and make sure you're a part of this incredible team.
Wow, I really appreciate you sharing that story, because that's a every teacher's nightmare to hear that a student would feel that way about you, especially if you had, just had no idea that they might feel that way. So I appreciate you going into detail and sharing that and being transparent with us like that. And it's a great lesson. And you know, we hear all the time, you know, relationships. What I love is all the different stories we hear about how we get there. What was it that made us realize that we really needed to build those relationships? So that was a really cool story. And I like that you've also flipped it and realized that it's not just with him as the student, but also with the parents, because that's a whole different conversation had, mm-hmm. you know, if that relationship built with the parent, because they go, no, wait a minute, I know her. That's not, you know, what's going on here. Let's have a conversation.
Right.
So such an important lesson. Those relationships will help in so many different ways and change the way things are perceived and the conversations that are had. So awesome lesson there for sure. So now let's flip it around. Let's talk about a success that you had. And this can be something big or something small, but tell us what happened. Why was it a success for you? And then what did you take away from that?
Okay. So just kind of some background on me. I'm someone who, you know, from when I was 10 years old, even, I knew I wanted to be a teacher. I forced my brother to play school with me in the basement. I invited his friends over. I had a babysitting gig every weekend, in middle school. In high school, I took like every elective there was relating to children, and all of my jobs were, you know, after school daycare, summer camp counselor. Everything I ever did in my life has pretty much revolved around, you know, that end goal of wanting to become a teacher. And after college, I was confident that I was the absolute best candidate there ever was. And every single school was lucky to have me. And every single school that I applied for, all 100 something schools that I applied for was going to be, they were going to be calling me and whatever. So, I mean, I went interview after interview and I was constantly told no. And, until eventually one day, you know, 9 interviews later and devastation, I was told yes. In the exact district that I wanted, teaching my second choice grade level that I wanted. And I mean, I still remember that moment so clearly when I got that call. I was sobbing on the phone out of excitement. I went to go sign my contract and I was sobbing. And then even like every single day that, you know, I would be driving to school that first year, and I would just, you know, sob like, I can't believe I had my dream job. And so if you asked me, like, I don't know, maybe even last year, 2 years ago, I probably would have said that, you know, I persevered through all of this. I saw this end goal in sight and I achieved it. I would probably have said that was my biggest success. But then, you know, after 7 years, I wish I could say I was crying tears of joy on my way to work every single day still. But I wasn't. And I loved being a fourth grade teacher. I loved my team. I loved my school. And most of all, I loved my students. But I was starting to see that there were things that I was just becoming more interested in as far as impacting students in different ways. And, I think that was my biggest success, recognizing that, you know, maybe I didn't have it all figured out. And I decided to just take a risk, just kind of out of the blue, started Marie Kondoing my teaching and asking myself, what brings me joy? And a lot of things came to mind, like giving students choice, personalized learning opportunities, STEM challenges, listening to students and how they learn best, researching best practice, collaborating with teachers, things like that, how to meet the needs of high achieving students, which so often get ignored or just overlooked. My biggest success was taking a risk and trying something different, which is the student learning coach role.
You know, Lauren, it's funny. I love listening to your answers. You know, we ask these questions every single week. And, you know, obviously different people, everyone has different stories. But for our listeners that may not know, Lauren, we've known each other for a long time.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, way back.
And I was so thrilled that we reconnected because we knew each other in college and then we all went off and did our, you know, like graduation, went to go get the dream jobs. And now having reconnected thanks to Instagram, I think it was like so fun.
Yeah.
And I just can't, I'm sitting here listening to your answers, just floored and so blown away by just how detailed your stories are. And I'm sure you get told this all the time, but like your passion oozes out of you when you talk. I mean, it's so exciting. And even just your answer to the last, you know, your biggest success is was realizing that you needed to reflect and take risks. And that is, gosh, I'm sitting here like with goosebumps, so inspired by you. And I think that that not only gets me excited for the rest of this episode, of course, but also I'm just so excited for the teachers that I've met or have yet to meet and will meet someday in my future that have this much passion and ability to reflect and reach their students the way you are. That just gets me so excited. And so I want to throw that at you, hopefully while I just made you blush. Hopefully, I'm sorry about that. But I want to know, of all this great things you're doing, this incredible reflection, this ability to reach all your students, the impact that you're now making, working with teachers to then help even more students than you probably ever imagined, what is going on right now that's getting you so, you know, jazzed up about education?
I mean, education in general, I feel like one of the biggest things that excites me is that people are starting to realize the importance of putting students in the driver's seat. And my job, my new job, is to empower students. That is what my job is. So I think that's super exciting for me. And one of the projects that I'm working on in my school right now to kind of help students see that they have a voice and help teachers see that they have a voice was a student engagement survey. I pulled all 800 something of the students in my school and just asked them simple questions like, what engages you? And I read through 800 something responses and used that information to help drive the professional development at my school. And I met with different teams and we found out that, you know, the students really thrive to have a real world connection. They love to use technology. They appreciate hands-on learning, being active, using visuals. But overwhelmingly, what the students said that helped them learn was choice. And so now it's not only me telling teachers, let's increase student voice and choice. It's the students. And I think that by listening to the students and by getting that really helped get buy-in from the teachers and led to really good conversations. It prompted multiple teachers to reach out to me and ask, you know, how can I tweak this to make this more student-centered? Teachers that, you know, would self-proclaimed, called themselves 20th century teachers. And, you know, that was one really exciting project that I just worked on. And I look forward to even more ways to help increase student voice in the classroom.
Well, and I think that that's incredibly important with how our education is shifting, you know, how the system that we're working within is becoming so much more student focused, that becomes incredibly relevant. So with all the work you're doing, all the teachers you're working with, and obviously the work you're doing on the back end to then support these initiatives, what type of suggestions, what type of recommendations or advice do you give newer teachers? You know, I don't know if it's the first ones, you know, maybe you reflect back on like your first year in the job, what advice you wish you had, or the teachers you're working with, you know, you start a new year in August and you realize there's two or three new staff members that are, you know, brand new to the building. What do they really need to know to ensure that they are becoming just as reflective and progressive as you're striving to be in your career?
Well, I mean, I guess the one thing that I want to tell new teachers is that you didn't get into teaching for the money and the fame. You did it for the students. So as long as you keep your students in the forefront of the decisions, all of the decisions that you make, the rest will fall in place. I mean, I think teachers, new teachers should make mistakes. They should take risks. That's how they'll learn. And I think that keeping the students in the forefront of all of their decisions will help keep them student-centered and make them teach the best that they can.
That's fantastic advice. I love that. Forget about the money, the fame. You didn't get in for that. Focus on the student. Right. I love that. Like I wrote down on notes, money, fame, and I just put a slash through it. I'm like, heck yeah, I love it. And then students, and I love it. Everything else will fall in place. I mean, and that's right. You have to put the students in the focus. Everything. I always say, like when we're talking with teachers who are maybe considering taking a leap at something or taking a risk, as you talked about earlier, or trying something new in the classroom, that are worried about potentially failing. I always say, look, if you are always focused on trying to do what's right for your students and you believe what you're doing is right for your students, you can't fail. You might have to make change course. You might have to change things. But if you believe that that's what you're trying to do, you should be able to sleep easy at night knowing that you are always doing that. And if you made the wrong choice and you got to reset and reflect and go, that's okay. But if you always have, like you said, if you always have the students in the forefront of your decisions, everything else will fall in place. You'll figure it out. So I love it. Exactly. That's awesome. That's awesome. All right. So let's have some fun here. We're going to do the next six questions, and we're going to do – the goal is you're going to answer them in 15 seconds or less each. Are you good? Are you ready to roll?
Okay, I'm ready.
All right,
Jeff,
here we go.
Jeff, can I confirm with you that you have the stopwatch out?
I got the stopwatch out. I'm ready to go, and
I'd really just love for our listeners to really picture it. Okay, so Jeff is sitting at a table with his big right microphone and his computer. He's got a sweatband across his head, probably black or orange. And he's got this timer that he's about to click the moment she starts speaking. Are you all ready?
And I'm like standing here panting and sweating. It's fine.
Well, and here's the thing. Like, Lauren, are you familiar with Flavor Flav?
With Flavor Flav?
Yeah. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, so like my stopwatch, it's that size.
Wow. Okay, anybody who doesn't know
anybody who doesn't know who that is needs to be older and know.
Absolutely.
All right, here we go. What is one ed tech tool you cannot live without?
Okay, I feel lame saying this, but Google Drive. I'm going to cheat and say two, and Flipgrid. I love tools that can be used in versatile ways, and those two, I can just think of 100 ways to use each of them, so I couldn't live without them.
Give us one book that you're reading right now.
It's called How to Differentiate Instruction in Academically Diverse Classrooms. That's a mouthful, but it's by Carol Ann Tomlinson.
All right, and who do we need to follow on Twitter today?
I'm really into Cult of Pedagogy lately.
Give us a good YouTube channel for educators.
Okay, I just got into YouTube for education, but John Spencer, I'm obsessed with all of his videos. He does these amazing sketchnote videos. They're just so, so cool.
Love it. Give us one daily, weekly, or monthly routine every teacher should get into.
Okay, reflect daily, connect with other educators weekly, and go outside of your comfort zone monthly.
Ooh, I like it. Nice. And what is the best piece of advice you've ever received?
Okay, I don't think this is the best piece of advice for everyone, but I think that it's the best for me, that you can't do everything. It's okay to say no.
Mm. Powerful.
It's absolutely true. I just said that phrase to somebody else today.
Yeah, I tend to just fill my plate and just keep adding more and more and more to it because I do get so excited about everything. But sometimes I just need to take a second and, you know, Marie Kondo my life a little bit.
I have no idea what it's like to do that, right?
Yeah, you say yes to everything, Jeff. That's your problem. You should realize you can't do everything and it's okay to say no.
See, the difference is I can do everything.
Well, that's okay. Can you record a podcast on that?
That would just be a whole bunch of lies. But yeah, I can do that if you want, Lauren. I'll make up some lies. No, that's great advice. That really is great advice. And that's something that I've been trying to work on. It's been something I've been trying to work on for a long time. And honestly, it's not going well, but I'm working on it. So awesome advice. I do think that's important for everyone because I think at some point in their lives, they're going to come across where that advice makes a lot of sense. So.
Well, I do have to say, Lauren, I have a really important question for you, but I have to go back to that daily, weekly, or monthly routine you gave. I'm going to write that down as like my life mantra.
Yes.
Connect with other educators weekly, go outside your comfort zone monthly. Like, killer. That is on the to-do list, girl. I love it.
Yay.
So my last question for you is the most important. I say that every single week because every time you are taking you know, time in your life to listen to a podcast, this cannot be the only time you choose to learn. And whether you're, you know, driving in your car on your commute to work, or, you know, somebody is, you know, getting ready for the morning and has it blaring in their Amazon Alexa, whatever. Yeah. Like, I really hope that people choose to reach out to you and just keep learning from your excellence. So would you mind sharing how people can connect with you?
Sure. On Twitter, I am Mrs. Salsinger. That's MRSSALSINGER. On Instagram and pretty much everything else, I am Diary of a 21st Century Teacher, all one word. So Diary of a 21st Century Teacher is my Instagram. That's my blog. That's my Facebook page. That's my Teachers Pay Teachers. It's everything else. So that's how you'll find me.
And, you know, you can find all the links that we've talked about and everything we discussed with Lauren, including those links to connect with her over at teachbetter.com. So make sure you head over and do that. Please, if you can, give us a make sure you subscribe to the podcast. Give us a rating review over on iTunes. We'd really appreciate that. And do me a big favor and do Ray a big favor and think of someone right now who you think needs to hear these amazing stories that these educators are sharing with us, and share this podcast with them, because we want more and more people to hear these awesome stories like Lauren has shared with us tonight. So do that for us. Lauren, really appreciate you taking some time and hanging out with us and sharing
Thank
your
you
stories
so much.
And getting in stuff. So really, really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And until next time, let's get out there and let's teach better.